All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to headline BKFC 33, which transpires November the 18th. A great fight and a lot of history built in. We'll get into that among a myriad of topics as Joey Beltran knuckles up and toes the line against Houston Alexander. And happy to have Houston on the show for the first time. How's your day going so far, man?
Oh, man, hey, just finishing up training, bro. Just finishing up training.
And I'm just curious, like, what the temperament was when you got this bout offer here, because as I alluded to in the intro, a bit of backstory between you guys, which I'll get into a touch later, but just in the sense of this guy being, like, a former heavyweight champion and experienced on the circuit, like, what was your initial kind of thoughts when the bout offer came your way?
Man, it was actually pretty cool, man. I mean, I was like, man, I get to fight Joey again. So it was actually pretty cool to hear, and especially with Joey being so accomplished in the bare knuckles. So I was excited to get the fight.
Yeah, and it seems like there's a lot of mutual respect heading into this between you guys, which is really cool because you're both action heavy fighters and you both really understand what you each bring to the table. Like, I saw the BKFC article where you're talking about, like, how he's a tough, experienced guy and you're just kind of looking to be the better man on the day. Like, what are your thoughts, I guess, overall on, you know, Joey Beltran in terms of, like, what he does well stylistically?
Man, well, you know what? Joey's patient. You know, he's very patient, you know, and he likes to stand in front of you. So patient guys like to stand in front of you. Those are guys that you got to worry about that, because I'm one of those guys too. So, and then, he's a professional. Real guys who know how to do real fight, right? Real fighting, we're professional. So, you know, I expect him to be professional. I'm sure he expects me to be the same.
Yeah, and I spoke to Joey a bit before this too, and I was kind of talking to him about, like, is there any kind of, like, takeaway from the previous fight that can apply to this, even though it's a different sport, and he didn't really seem to share in that sentiment quite as much. He's excited to fight you, obviously, but realizes there's different variables to this. Do you kind of share in that sentiment too?
Yeah, man, you know, we're basically boxing with no gloves. So, I'm a pretty damn good boxer, and I'm sure he is too. So you're just gonna, it's gonna be a non Jake Paul situation. We're gonna go at it.
Yeah, that's funny. But yeah,
you can use that. It's a non Jake Paul.
Yeah, that's a fun one for sure. Definitely something, you know, your style very much opposed.
Jake's doing good for himself. You know, they got your own promotion, getting your own money, and you said, and matter of fact, you're feeding. He's feeding fighters, man. Whether you like it or not, his promotion is paying fighters, so it's no big deal.
Yeah, I know, that's a good way to, you know, look at it for sure, and definitely like a nuanced kind of, you know, balanced take there and everything. But I mentioned that I was talking to Joey a bit before this fight, and he was talking about how, you know, it's like you've come off two devastating knockouts, and he said, you know, he's on back-to-back defeats, so he could see why someone perceive you as the favorite. But also in saying that, he kind of mentioned that maybe there's a bit of mental edge having someone's number previously, but at the same time not underestimating you. Like, what are your thoughts on that there?
You know what? I think my take on that would be, you know, we're in the moment. You know, we're not worried about wins or losses. We're not worried about then and now. We're gonna worry about when we're in that round square circle, for what I understand it, what it is. And I think, you know, we've got two competitors who are going after it, man. So I don't think, you know, we're not worried about the past, present. We're worried about now.
Yeah, for sure. And in talking about like mental edges and embracing the present, I would think that you're the kind of fighter who gets like especially motivated and galvanized being in like the hometown, and probably especially so being in the main event. Like, is that a fair kind of breakdown of how you're feeling heading into this?
No, man, Dylan, I'll tell other people I've interviewed with, I'm scared. I'm scared to death because, you know, for anyone who says they're not, who's ever headlined a show, there's a lot of pressure, man. There's a lot of pressure. You're in your hometown. You're around all your people. You know, there's pressure to win. So, yeah, I'm scared to death. But it's going to be that type of scared to death that makes you, you know, really want to do better and really want to perform. So, performing in front of your hometown is a good, it's a bad thing at the same time, because you're in your hometown. You got people, you know, asking for things, and people wanting to be close to you. But you know, this is the time where you got to be toned in and focused. So, I'm scared to death, but it's a scary scared to death where I'm toned in more, even more so.
Yeah, is it almost like a back against the wall, like the pressure, you know, makes diamonds kind of dynamic more so?
Yeah, I would say so. But again, yeah, plus you got people begging for shit.
Yeah, no, fair enough. I get what you're saying in that sense. But, I mean, it's an interesting position you're in, too, because, like, obviously, like, you're very much still there athletically, but, like, you've been in the game for quite a while now, so it seems like a great combination of, like, high-level fight IQ with that kind of composure and maturity that comes with it, but also still very, you know, vibrant athletically. Do you feel you're kind of at that, you know, confluence in your career? Like, both of those things are working in your favor?
You know what, man? I think right now I'm having fun. And I think that's the main course of action for me right now, is just to have fun, man. I'm literally having fun doing bare knuckle, because, you know, as anyone started off in MMA or any type of fighting, I'm sure we started off with these first, that or wrestling or running, which are two of the oldest sports ever. But man, I think I'm just having fun right now, and that's the only way to describe it, man. You know, getting in there, just having fun doing, and being able to still do what I'm doing. I'm not ignorant to the fact that our father time is undefeated. But right now, you know, with me being in shape and taking care of myself, man, I'm just glad to be competing at a high level. And now I'm just literally having fun.
Yeah, and that's so important too. And I love that you also can, you know, work alongside a lot of rising, you know, bare knuckle fighters. Like when I was talking to Josette Cotton before her last fight, she spoke very highly of you. And I mean, you must have been elated seeing her capture the BYB and, you know, Police Gazette belts respectively in that last one. Like, how much does that mean to you?
Josette's tough, man. I I've watched her develop. Josette, you know, she's tough mentally. And so, and for I'm glad she didn't hate on me. she's my girl, though. You know, and you got up and coming people, you know, that we're dealing with, Ryan Coleman. You know, there's a lot of people that's been around my circle that are coming up. I'm glad to see them doing good, doing well.
Yeah, and it seems like from some Instagram posts, at least, that you're getting in a lot of work at B&B Sports Academy. Is that the main place you're kind of, you know, sharpening the tools, as it were?
Yeah, you know, just even last night, man, you know, just getting that work in, I went 20, almost 25 rounds. So, you know, my endurance is going to be there. It's going to be there for sure. But, you know, getting, you know, being in there with boxers who know what the hell they're doing, you got to really cover up, because, you know, I was bleeding like a stuffed pig last night, getting hit in the nose, and you know, but you need that, and you need to figure out where's the holes in your game when it comes to certain things. So, yeah, you know, B&B has been helping out. Of course, I got my coach Joe Bodler and Curl Alexander helping out, and it's been interesting, especially going to B&B, because they don't, you know, they don't play. The boxing over there, even with the low-level people over there, they're not playing.
Yeah, I love that you're getting that kind of work and everything like that. And I'm kind of curious, just because you mentioned the, you know, fun returning to the picture a bit earlier. Like, you took a four-year layoff from about, like, 2017 to 2021. Was there some utility in, I mean, not just your body healing, but also maybe rekindling that ability to have fun?
No, man, no, you know what? Because I've never stopped. I stayed in the gym. I working with other people. You know, there's no way you just eliminate just not competing all at once. You know, matter of fact, you know, me being able to still compete with some of the up and coming guys and still dominate, you know, that's why I'm even in this situation now. So, you know, if I'm doing that in the gym, why not get paid to do what you love to do? I'm still, my level's still up there, man. It hasn't declined, not in the sense of these. So, yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, well, fair enough. I mean, you're concurrently ranked in two different divisions, number five at both heavyweight and cruiserweight, respectively. So, yeah, very much there for sure.
You know what? I didn't know that. I didn't even know that until someone told me that the other day. I don't pay attention to that stuff because, you know, I'm just going out there having fun being a part of the situation, man. It's been, you know, so shouts out to Bare Knuckle for letting, you know, for having me do this and train my guy from Omaha with DC with Dynasty, who got me into it, man. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. And I also thought it was cool that we kind of share a background in like radio and television. And I love that you have like a radio show and have had multiple shows over the years. But speaking to, you know, Culture Shock Radio, like how important is that not just for a creative outlet, but also for, I guess, like community outreach and teaching the youth, etc.?
You know what? It's that, you know, I have a lot of people who are start trying to get into the music business by giving them the structure with radio. But, you know, I also with my foundation, the Houston Alexander Foundation, we're teaching the kids about the culture itself. So I get to help on the radio, and I get to help on, you know, in the classrooms and at the school. So, you know, that I'm very proud of that and helping out the kids because, again, the kids are our future, which is very cliche to say, but they are. I'm just trying to help out the best I can. I'm not perfect, but you know, I'm trying the best I can to help out the kids the best I can.
No, it's very altruistic and helpful. So definitely something I appreciate seeing even from a distance, but something I thought to ask about, because it seems like you really, you know, appreciate the history of bare knuckle boxing. Like I saw you had a post about, you know, Tom Molyneux and how he famously won $100,000 and everything like that and got granted his freedom many moons ago. And I guess to that point, like how important would it be to, I guess, carve out a path to maybe say capture like a Police Gazette title or something of that nature? I would think that would really appeal to you.
Oh man, you know what? That would actually be, you know, that would actually be pretty cool, especially for an old guy like myself to make any type of history. Because I'm a history guy. If you follow any of my pages, man, I'm a history guy. I'm big on history. I'm big on learning from the past so that we don't F up in the future. So if you know, you know what's been done negatively or positively in the past, either you follow the path or you stay away from it. And so if this is on my path to do so, and you know, so be it, man. I'm just having fun doing it, and whether it happens or not, I would love for it to happen, but if it happens or not, I'm just having fun, man.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, we were talking about your experience across a lot of gloved, you know, combat sports and 2-0 in bare knuckle boxing now. Are there any, I guess, differences in your preparation for a bare knuckle fight as compared to, say, MMA?
You know what? I don't think so. You know, it's just the conditioning, you know, more conditioning because, you know, you don't want to get in there and you don't want to ride gas, you want to punch yourself out. But, the only difference I think is just more boxing. You know, I'm getting my ass kicked by 20-something-year-old guys who actually know how to box, who know how to duck under the punches, and who know how to stay in tight. So, I don't see anything different.
No, fair enough. I get what you're saying.
More, just like more cowbells, more boxing.
But yeah, like doing my research on you, you seem like a guy who is very like, you know, passionate about music and stuff like that. And I saw you were, you know, into like DJing and stuff like that. How much like, I guess, crossover do you get with that? Like fight fans having, you know, Houston Alexander come like DJ the party sort of thing. I feel like if I was in your area, I'd be hitting you up for that.
Hey man, you know, I've been DJing longer than I've been fighting. You know, I've been DJing ever since the late 80s with actual technique. Turntables from my man Ray Jefferson. Ray Jefferson was the first person I ever DJed with, and he was the first person I know that had Technique 1200s, which were really expensive back in the 80s. So I've been DJing for a long time, man, and people just didn't know that, or they just didn't do their research. But you know, with more of the visual you have nowadays, they get actually see it. So you know, they see me in the basement or at a party or and you know. You know, they look at me like, oh man, this guy can DJ or it's, you know, DJing and being able to speak on the mic and stuff like that, man. There's a what is the word I'm looking for? There's a nuance to be being able to DJ and rock a crowd at the same time. So, you know, that's how hip hop started off with the DJ. And I'm just glad to be a part of it to where I'm actually pretty good at it.
Yeah, and you seem to have like experience like with the B-boy kind of culture as well and stuff like that too. So that's awesome as well.
All part of the hip hop culture, brother. And I've touched on a little bit of everything in the culture, you know, like as everyone did, you know, coming up in it.
Yeah, no, it's awesome, man. You definitely have like a very, you know, nuanced set of interests, and a lot of them resonate with me. So that works out for a fun conversation, no doubt. But I appreciate you coming on the show.
I appreciate it, brother. And what's your background in radio?
I went to a place called Niagara College in Niagara, Ontario, and yeah, I graduated with a, you know, specialty in like on-air presentation for radio and TV, and I've since kind of turned that into like more of a freelance thing, talking to fighters. So yeah, that's kind of where I'm at now. I did like 5 years in radio.
I need a grade. After looking at some of my social media, what grade would you give me, Dylan?
Oh, I thought it was great. It was really entertaining. I'd give you an A for sure.
Are you just saying that because I'm on your show?
No, man, your experience. You've been doing it a lot longer than me, so shout out. I gotta tip the cap.
And you're originally from Canada, correct?
Yes, I am, yeah. Ontario, Canada. Like, Oshawa specific, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I heard a hint of a bedroom in the woods. So, yeah, I heard the hint.
Yeah, it definitely comes through in a lot of these interviews and stuff like that. But it's been great getting to talk to you, man. And I, you know, do want to be mindful of your time and whatever you're getting up to today, too, though. So to that point, is there anything you might want to add as a parting thought as we're wrapping up, Houston?
Oh, parting thought would be to all the people watching, especially your podcast. And I've been saying this for the past, you know, week or so. Make sure you respect the person next to you, you know. And I think that's more important. Especially coming up in this day and age, you know, in the social media age and misinformation of things. You know, just one myth that would not be misinterpreted is the way you treat people. Make sure you respect the person next to you, to the left, to the right of you, to the front, to the back of you, and expect the same thing in return. So, and with that, and I'll leave people with that. Also, again, I want to thank my family and friends and sponsors and especially guys like yourself, brother. You know, you wouldn't know that you're being
Houston Alexander knuckling up and toeing the line with Joey Bell trying to BKFC 33, November 18th. This is Bouks talking Bouts.